This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Hallelujah. Good morning, church. Hey, that's it. Bruce said before, but I'll say it again to everybody. Three more days, three more sleeps, and it will be Christmas. Hands up those who love Christmas. Oh, well, it's good to see that many hands up. That makes me not feel on my own. Because I must admit, I love Christmas. I love Christmas in the natural realm. I love the Christmas trees and the tinsels and everything else. But above all of that, I love Christmas for its great spiritual significance. Because that's what it's all about when it's all said and done. We can take the tinsel away, but we can't take Christ away. Amen. Christmas time. No. Why don't you say to your neighbor, I love Christmas. Okay. Now you can look to me and say, I love Christmas. Because I'll say it to you. I do love Christmas. Christmas time. A time of peace. A time of goodwill. A time to extend the hand of friendship to others. A loving, caring word of comfort to those who are lonely or hurting. And we know that there will be quite a few lonely people at Christmas time, hurting people. And it is time for us in those days to reach out. And, you know, a kind word goes a long, long way to take away hurt and whatever. A time of giving gifts to your loved ones, friends, neighbors, and to those who are less well off than ourselves. It seems to me that Christmas is a time of the year when most people from all walks of life seem to become a little bit more friendly, more open, more caring towards one another. I don't know if you think that, but I really sort of seen that over a period of time. And I thought about why this is so. And the conclusion I came to is that even amid all the hustle and the bustle at this time of year, people's minds, even if only subconscious, turn to the real meaning of Christmas, which is the birth of our Savior. Jesus, the Prince of Peace. And when people think about him, it touches something on the inside of them. Now, for some, it will do them good. For others, it may well challenge them. But it does something to them. Now, before I go on, I want to ask all of you a question. Well, two actually. Question one. Who likes to receive presents? Yeah? Ooh. Some don't. Oh, well, look at that. Wow. Well, I do, and I love it. The more, the merrier. Anyhow, question two. Who likes giving presents? Look at that. I'm sure we all do. Now, we all know that a lot of love and thought goes into choosing presents for our loved ones. Yet, even the present bought with the utmost of love, or the most expensive present, like a new Ferrari, or a whopping great diamond ring or necklace for the ladies, that will be bought as a present for someone in the world this Christmas. But that will utterly pale into insignificance, and I repeat, utterly pale into insignificance when compared to the gift that God the Father gave to all of mankind, all of us, on that first Christmas morning. For he gave us his Son. Amen. And I would just like to read out of Isaiah chapter 9 and verses. Let me have a look. Six to seven. And it says that is Isaiah prophesying the birth of Jesus, the coming of Jesus, a long time before it happened. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us. And there you can go right across. It's all written on the boards here. Unto us, a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. You can go right around the whole world, and it's all around you. It's amazing. It's so good to stand up here and to see all that so boldly displayed, because not everybody knows that. And there will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness, and from then on and forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Praise the Lord. Now, Isaiah prophesied the birth of this child, this son, this great gift to us. Hundreds of years before the occasion occurred, he proclaimed the greatness of this Son of God. In Luke chapter 1, we can read the birth of Jesus foretold by the archangel Gabriel. And I'll just give a shorter version of it today, because Ebony did a very great job reading all the whole thing out last week. But I'll just give a shorter version of it. And we find that in Luke chapter 1. Verse 26 to 37. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man. And as Bruce pointed out last week so well, that she was a virgin. He's going a little bit further. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph. Now, as Bruce pointed out last year, engaged in those days meant was as good as being married. It's not like today. Engagements and can be broken off and on, but they had a lot more meaning in that day. So, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Hail, favoured." Well, that's the angel of the Lord. And coming in, he said to her, "Hail, favoured one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call him Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will have no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Nothing will be impossible for God. And in Luke chapter 2, we have the actual word of Jesus recorded and testified to by the angel of the Lord and the host of angels and a host of angels. Now, you know, I'm going to read it out again. Well, not me. I'm going to call upon Ebony to come up and to read it for me. But you have more or less everything that we're reading again, we have sort of seen so well displayed by everyone here before. Like, you know, it was tremendous to see the young ones doing all whatever, you know. It was great. So you've sort of heard and seen everything what I'm going to say virtually today. Actually, when I stood up, I thought, I wonder what I'm going forward to, because it's all been done anyhow. So anyhow, Ebony, you like to come? And Ebony will read from in Luke chapter 2, from verse 1 to 20.
At the time, Emperor Augustus ordered a census of the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All the people went to register in the cities where their ancestors have lived. So Joseph went from Nazareth to the city in Galilee, to a Judean city called Bethlehem. Jesus, a descendant of King David, went to Bethlehem because David had been born there. Jesus went to register with Mary. She had been promised to him in marriage and was pregnant. While they were in Bethlehem, the time came for Mary to have her child. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in strips of cloth and laid him in the manger because there wasn't any room for them in the inn. Shepherds were in the field near Bethlehem. They were taking turns watching their flock during the night. An angel from the Lord suddenly appeared to them. The glory of the Lord filled the area with light, and they were terrified. The angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I have good news for you. A message that will fill everyone with joy. Today, your Savior, Christ the Lord, was born in David's city. This is how you will recognize him. You'll find an infant wrapped in strips of cloth lying in a manger. Suddenly, a large army of angels appeared with the angel. They were praising God by saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those who have his goodwill." The angels left them and went back to heaven. The shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see what the Lord has told us about." They went quickly and found Mary and Joseph with the baby, who was lying in a manger. When they saw the child, they repeated what they had been told about him. Everyone who heard the shepherd's story was amazed. Mary treasured all these things in her heart and always thought about them. As the shepherds returned to their flock, they glorified and praised God for everything they had seen and heard, everything that happened and the way the angel had told them.
Fantastic. Fantastic, eh? That deserves another clap, I reckon. Eh? Very well done. Thank you much. Thank you very much. Well, you know, if I'm really true, why I ask her to do that, because, you know, I was stumbling a bit about saying this Quirinius. Not really. I think she did such a good job last week. I thought, well, you know, I would like to give her another go this week. Okay. But, you know, what came out of there is that the angel said, "I bring you good news." And he brought out the point of joy, like, you know, of good news, the tiding of joy. And, you know, Jesus is joy. Jesus in your life brings joy. Amen. Jesus you know, and let's put it this way, that sometimes we might get in a hole and we lose our joy and then we lose, you know, our walk with God. And so the whole idea is to stay in the joy of God. And we know that, you know, joy brings, you know, it's amazing what joy can do to you. Like, it will lift you, it will strengthen you, it will lead you on to better things. Hallelujah. And joy is infectious. If you're joyful, you affect people around you. Hallelujah. And if you're miserable, well, you know, you bring misery wherever you go. Anyhow, but the Holy Spirit has laid on my heart to highlight the fact that throughout Scripture, Jesus Christ, our Savior, is referred to as a great light. You know, Jesus is a bright, shining light. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, and I'll read that first from 1, but there will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish in earlier times. He treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt. But later on, he shall make it glorious by the way of the sea. And on the other side of the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. They shall multiply the nation, they shall increase their gladness, and they will be glad in thy presence as with the gladness of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. Praise God. Praise God. You know, it tells us that Jesus is a great light. And Matthew chapter 4 and verse 12 to 17 picks up on that prophecy from Isaiah. So Matthew chapter 4, I'll get there. How is it that when you want to find it, you can never? And if you don't want to find it, it'll fall open in the first time. Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 to 17. And it says, now, when he heard that John had been touched, Jesus, he's just come out of the wilderness where the devil tempted him for 40 days. He fasted. Now, when he heard that John had been taken into custody, he withdrew into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and settled in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. This was to fulfill that which was spoken to Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, in the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of Gentiles, the people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light. And to those who were sitting in the land and shadow of death, upon them a light dawned. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus is referred to in Luke chapter 2 and verse 32. Jesus is referred to as the light of revelation. Now we live in a time of great spiritual darkness. But the good news is that the light of Jesus shines as brightly today as it did 2,000 years ago. Jesus is alive and his salvation is still available to all. Okay, I'll go back to here again, where I was just a minute ago. For chapter John brings it all together. If you look at chapter John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was in the beginning with God. All things came into all things came into being by him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God, whose name was John the Baptist. He came for a witness, that he might be witness of the light, that all might believe through him. John himself was not the light, but came that he might be a witness of the light. For there was a true light which coming into the world enlightens every man. The light of God enlightens people. Without enlightenment, none of us would be sitting here today. We'd be out there partying or doing something. But it is the enlightenment of God that brings us to Jesus. Now, all that we've read and heard this morning is what we as Christians celebrate and reflect on at Christmas. We reflect on the fact that Jesus Christ, our Savior, came into this dark, sin-laden world as a great, bright, shining light to dispel the darkness from people's lives, to fill them with the light of revelation, to free them from their sin, fear, guilt, oppression, and in place of these things, gave them love, peace, joy, and eternal life with God. And I read this again, that we live in a time of great spiritual darkness. I think we all agree with that. But the good news is that the light, Jesus, shines as brightly today as it did 2,000 years ago. Jesus is alive, and his salvation is still available to all. Yes. Wherever, to whomever the name of Jesus is preached, spiritual light shines down upon that person. They are touched by God's great love, compassion, his holiness. And the word of God declares in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, that if you ask the Lord Jesus to become your Lord and Savior, and with your mouth confess Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believe, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting into salvation. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. And at this point, I would ask everyone to bow their head, close their eyes, and I would like to ask if there's anyone present this morning and you have never asked the Lord Jesus to be your Lord, your Savior, never committed your life to him. For Jesus came into this world to show us the kingdom of God, to die on the cross at Calvary, to shed his precious blood to wash away our sins. And if there's anyone here this morning who would like to receive Jesus as their Lord, to receive his salvation, is there anyone here this morning who would like to invite Jesus to come into your life? Please raise your hand that I might see it and pray with you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Is there anyone? Jesus loves you, and he does not want you to walk out of this place about him in your life. It is the greatest Christmas present you will ever receive. Eternal life with God, all your sins forgiven, a new fresh beginning with him. And is there anyone here today who has never received Jesus as his Lord and Savior? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. I've cut my message shorter because we had so many things to do today. But this is the most important part, as far as I'm concerned, in the message. To give the opportunity to anyone who may have struggled with becoming asking Jesus to come in their Lord. Well, today is the day. The Lord mentioned in his word says, today, if you hear my voice, do not harden your heart. So I know that it is a big step to take, but if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I would really advise you to do so today, because today is the day that he has made. Okay, well, if there's no one here today, that's good, then everybody is a Christian, and that is very good. Now, the only other thing I've got on my heart is that, you know, it's been a long time, but a short time, since Christmas last year to Christmas this year. In one way, it seems a long time. In other ways, it's gone, flown away. But in this year, if you've struggled to hear from God, if you, the word sitting on the fence, keep coming to me. If you've been sitting on the fence, one foot in one camp, one foot in the other camp, and you'd like to start this new year that we're going into, walking with God, with him, and receiving his word, then I would ask if there's anyone that would like to be refreshed to come forward today, and we, you know, myself and the elders and Bruce would like to pray for them. Amen. 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 So if there's anyone here who wants prayer, if you come forward, then we'll pray. If not, I'll ask Bruce to come up and say a few words. And yeah, I want to thank you for being here today. Amen. 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 Amen.
Thank you. Thank you for being here this morning.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Here. Looking forward to a great time. Don't forget, we remain in here until we get summoned to the banquet feast. A bit like the second coming, you know. You've got to wait until the tap on the shoulder. But it's going to be a great time. Fellowship, have a wonderful Christmas. Hopefully, we'll see you on Christmas Day, 9:30 in the morning. But if not, have an awesome day with your family and friends. And keep Christ in Christmas.
Amen.
Let's pray.
Amen.
Father God, we pray your blessing on this season. We ask for your presence with us and our families. We pray for those, Lord God, that we know that are perhaps struggling at this time. And give us opportunity, Lord, to reach out and to include them.
Hallelujah.
And by doing
Hallelujah.
So, putting Christ right back there in the middle of our Christmas. Father, we just thank you. Our hearts are full. Our joy is complete. We have you. There is no better gift. We pray, Lord God, that others through the ministry of this church and others would come to know you as well. We thank you, Father, for trusting us, for abiding with us, for calling us, for allowing us the privilege of serving the living God. We honor you today. And we bless you. In the mighty and the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.